Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Mike Myatt is widely regarded as America's top CEO coach, and he's the author of the recently published book, Hacking Leadership. He's a Forbes leadership columnist and the managing director and chief strategy officer at N2 Growth. In addition, he is the author and moderator of the award-winning N2 Growth blog. Mike also frequently lectures and keynotes on topics of leadership, branding, innovation, and social media. Mike, welcome to Edgewise.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Now, in Hacking Leadership, you mentioned that the problem with leaders today is that they don't understand how to integrate time-tested leadership principles with the evolving practices needed for success now. Now, you refer to three critical leadership gaps. Can you explain what they are?
Yeah, I've found in my work, Dave, that there are actually three gaps that leaders deal with on a routine basis. One is the development gap, the second one is the influence gap, and the third one is the reality gap. So the development gap is where they are as a leader today versus where they need to be as a leader to be effective. So many folks view leadership with a destination mentality, and frankly, leadership is a continuum. You never really reach full leadership maturity. All leaders are a work in progress. So recognizing where your strengths and weaknesses are today, understanding what you need to do to become a better leader and plotting a path to get there, that's kind of the development gap. The influence gap is really the ability for a leader to better influence their peers and their coworkers. You know, leadership without influence is really not much more than a farce, Dave. So becoming more aware, more self-aware, more organizationally aware, more culturally aware, being able to really wield influence for the benefit of others. So that's the influence gap. And the reality gap is an interesting one. It's kind of the gap between a leader's self-assessment and then the assessment of them from the perspective of those whom they lead. So we ask leaders all the time to rate themselves, and you know, it's interesting. Probably in about 95% of the cases, if you ask a leader to rank themselves on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst leader they've ever been around and 10 being the best, they'll inevitably rate themselves typically a 7 or an 8. It's a very, very extreme case when somebody will rate themselves lower than a 7 or higher than an 8. But if you ask the people they lead to rate them, they will on average rate them 200 to 300 basis points lower than that leader's self-assessment. So if a leader rates themselves an 8, it's very likely that the people that they lead will rate them a 5 or a 6. So that's the reality gaps. Those are the three gaps that leaders tend to struggle with.
Next question, are there any universal blind spots that many leaders are ignoring in today's business environment?
You know, I guess the thing that I see most often is leaders have a tendency to focus too much on process and not enough on people. And so if there's a real blind spot, it's being human as a leader. It's not focusing so much on the hard metrics and the management reports and the dashboards, but focusing on the people and the culture and the environment. And most leaders understand that at a theoretical level. I mean, they get that intuitively, but somehow it gets bled out of their daily lives. They get caught up in the business of the business, and they forget about the people. So if there is a universal blind spot, it's not paying enough attention to the people. And so that's probably the big thing that I see.
Next question. You mentioned the importance of hacking the purpose gap. Why is purpose important to organizations?
Oh, that's a great question, Dave. I think over the last decade or two, we've kind of lost our center in the corporate world. I think we've become so short-term profit-driven that we forget about the bigger picture. And what's happened is a lot of corporations are really great at checking the community social responsibility box. They're really great at photo opportunities. But when it really comes to having a shared purpose, a higher purpose, they view that as really a bit of an afterthought, when really purpose is what truly drives profit. So when you find a corporation that's truly a purpose-driven enterprise, they tend to be doing very well from the profit perspective. But if all you're doing is paying attention to profit motive, you may be successful for a season, but it's not a sustainable endeavor. So understanding how to find your organizational purpose, how to align your talent and your mission and your values and your vision around that purpose, and then operate according to that purpose. That's what's important to organizations.
One notable aspect of corporate success revolves around having a different corporate culture. Now, leaders always talk about how important culture is, but what steps can leaders take to improve or change their own corporate culture?
Another great question. It's interesting, Dave. You'll rarely find a leader that doesn't talk about culture, but do they actually really do anything about it? And so there's no debate out there about the importance of a great corporate culture, but there's a lot of disagreement around the best construct upon which to build a corporate culture. And what I've found is the only real sustainable corporate culture, the only real culture that drives the type of results the leaders want to see, is to develop a culture of leadership. And if you view everything through the lens of leadership, you'll start to see cultures transform rather rapidly. You know, I've often said that businesses don't fail, projects don't fail, people don't fail, leaders fail. So leaders that aren't accountable to their people will eventually be held accountable by their people. So if leaders will focus on doing everything they can to improve the leadership acumen across the enterprise, cultures will transform themselves rather quickly.
In a survey you conducted, you found that 30% of employees believe they will be working somewhere else within 12 months. What mistakes are leaders commonly making that has led to this?
You know, it's really interesting. I mean, long gone are the days where folks will stay with one organization for 20 or 30 years. I mean, it happens, but it's the exception today and not the rule. And we do annual surveys, and what we find out there is job satisfaction is really at an all-time low. And most people don't see themselves even being at their current place of employment, even in the near term, much less the midterm or the long term. And I think it really gets back to what we talked about just a minute ago, which is not understanding people, you know, being more process-oriented than people-oriented. So if you look at your people and you're not unleashing their passions, if you're not challenging their intellect, if you're not engaging their creativity, if you're not developing their skills, if you're not giving them a voice, I mean, the list could go on and on and on, but if you don't do those things, they will find someone who will. So the trick is not to just give somebody a role and a title and a task, but it's really to fully engage their passion and align that passion around that shared common purpose we talked about earlier.
Now, there are many examples of companies that ultimately fail because they change their focus from managing opportunities to managing risk. How can leaders sustain innovation? Or maybe probably the more important question is, how can they kickstart innovation and integrate?
You know, I think what we're talking about here, Dave, is really the horrible effects that status quo mentality has on an enterprise. And when corporations become successful, they start playing it safe. You know, they start looking for incremental gains instead of disruptive gains. As you mentioned, they start managing risk as opposed to managing opportunities. They really become inwardly focused as opposed to outwardly focused. So all the things that made them successful in the beginning, they tend to stray away from. They have almost a bunker mentality, a protection mentality, as opposed to a growth mentality. So the way to kickstart innovation is to actually focus on it. One of the things that I find in most enterprises is they're bogged down doing too many things that don't add value. So if you really want to jumpstart innovation and creativity in your enterprise, look for things that you should stop doing immediately. I mean, it's very difficult to find any organization on the face of the planet that couldn't probably eliminate 20 to 25% of their current processes that they have in place. The only reason they're in place is because somebody's been there. They don't add value, they just exist, but they slow everything down, they clog everything up. So the best way to jumpstart an innovation is to simplify, get rid of activities and processes and tasks and endeavors that don't add value, and then focus again on the shared purpose, the common purpose of the enterprise, align those with pent-up consumer demand in the market, and you're going to see innovation start to ignite itself.
And the last question I have for you today, Mike, is what's the most important leadership lesson you've ever learned?
I think it happened early in my career. It was really the concept of embracing dissenting opinion. You know, it's more important for leaders to get the right outcome than it is for leaders to be right. And so when leaders can get out of their own way and not just challenge everybody else, but challenge themselves, their own thinking, their own belief system, and really listen to those who would stretch them, that's where real growth comes from. And so that's probably the greatest lesson that I learned, and I was lucky enough to pick that up early in my career, which was, you know, you don't know everything, so stop pretending that you do. Listen to others and really seek out the different voices and the dissenting opinions, because there's something to learn from everybody.
We've been speaking to Mike Myatt, and he's author of a great new book you're going to want to check out entitled Hacking Leadership. Mike, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
AMA webinars provide 90 minutes of focused how-to instruction and specific solutions for solving your most pressing work issues. For $149, you'll participate in an in-depth course taught by an expert who will answer your questions and guide you through the process a step at a time. For a complete schedule of upcoming AMA webinars, visit our events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.